Exodus 40, verses 34 through 38. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting, because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would go onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of Yahweh was above the tabernacle by day, and fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel, throughout all their journeys. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. The children of Israel have arrived at their destination. I think there is a mistake that we often make when we think of them coming out of Egypt. We think that they were coming out of Egypt to go to Canaan, because that was the land that was promised to Abraham. But we know that Abraham was seeking a better country even than that. The book of Hebrews teaches us that. And we could even see that in Abraham's life and how he lived by faith, and how his hope was not merely in the future generations of his earthly family occupying this tract of land in the Near East, but his hope was in the resurrection. We had wonderful indication of that when his wife Sarah died, and he looked forward to her being resurrected from that land. So his hope was a resurrection hope. And there is resurrection hope here. The people of Israel were being brought out of Egypt, especially to be brought to the Lord. The Lord said, "Let my people go that they may serve me." The point was to bring the people to the Lord at Sinai, so that they could be wedded to him there, that they would be his people, he would be their God. And this presented, of course, the problem of how can the holy God dwell among sinful people. The tabernacle is not an ultimate solution. The ultimate solution comes after they come to Canaan. The ultimate solution comes in him who is God and became flesh and tabernacled among us. And even then, Christ, in his act of obedience, in his obeying the commandments of God in his life, and then in his passive obedience, giving himself to suffer the wrath of God for our sin, he had tabernacled among us for a season in his flesh, but the ultimate solution is God's tabernacling with man. So there's bookends here that are really from Genesis 2 to Exodus 40, where man had fellowship with God and sinned and transgressed that covenant. And so man lost his fellowship with God, and man showed how depraved and how sinful he is, that he couldn't dwell with God, even as God produced this line of the godly that was hoping in the Savior to come. It was demonstrated that man did not have hope of maintaining fellowship with God without that Savior who was to come. So you have the godly line from Seth, and what happens? The indwelling sin is so great. The line gets mixed with the line of Cain. God is ready to destroy the whole earth. He shows Noah grace. He redeems Noah to be the one in whom the covenant is preserved, so that Christ and Noah's loins would be preserved on the ark. But we see that man cannot have fellowship with God so long as man is in his sin. And so there's this tabernacle that makes display of the putting away of sin, the atonement for sin, the cleansing of sin, and now especially the mediator who, with the blood that puts away our sin, becomes the focal point, the one in whom God and man can be reconciled. And man can be in the presence of God, have God, as it were, tabernacle among him, and have, instead of estrangement, fellowship, and instead of wrath, blessing, and instead of rejection, favor and welcome. So you have all of these indications of the possibility of God tabernacling among his people. And so this really is the conclusion. The cloud covers the tabernacle of the meeting. The glory of Yahweh fills the tabernacle. And yet, what happens? Moses is unable to enter the tabernacle of meeting. So the tabernacle was not able to make man. The tabernacle was not fit to enable man to dwell in the great display of God's glory. Not even Moses. And Moses was not fit yet. And so it's communicating that there is this temporary way in which the Lord is dwelling with his people. But it's also communicating that there must be a better way, a fuller way, an effective way that is to come. So the Lord dwells with his people, and he will dwell with his people. The fall was not the last word. The rejection, or the ejection, rather, of man from Eden was not the last word. God is taking to himself a people, and he is going to dwell with them. And he's also now going to lead Israel as history moves forward to Christ coming and Christ being the one who tabernacles among us and in whom we become fit. We become not just forgiven, but fit to endure God's glorious presence as the Lord moves forward in history to complete that work that he is doing. The nation of Israel is going to be used by God, and they become not just those from whom Christ comes, but an example to us, kind of like the Lord made Elijah run in front of Ahab's chariot and offered him. You remember all the way down the mountain when the rain was coming and Elijah was outrunning the chariot, and God made that great display of how he offers not just to be with his people, but to lead them by himself, by way especially of his word in that case. But here Israel is an example to us that the Lord offers us in Christ, not just to have him present with us, that we may have fellowship with him and we may enjoy his favor, but to lead us. To lead us and guide us, which Asaph realizes when he goes to worship in Psalm 73. You remember, it's not just that he is continually with God and that God will receive him into glory, but also that God takes him by the hand, that God guides him by his counsel. We see this in Psalm 32. That not only in the moment that we confess our sins, does God forgive us our sins, but then he also gives us instruction. And he says, don't be like horse and mule, which are so stubborn that they have to be forced by pain and external control, that we would receive the instruction of the Lord. And so the Lord here doesn't just show his presence with his people. In verses 34 and 35, he shows that he leads his people. Whenever the cloud is taken up from above the tabernacle, the children go onward in their journeys. If the cloud is not taken up, they did not journey until the day that it was taken up. God doesn't just go with them, which was the big question, the big prayer request. You remember he said, if if you're not going to go with us, don't let us go. But he was going to lead them. He's going to take them. The Lord doesn't just go with you. He leads you. You follow his instruction. You do what he says in his word. His providence belongs to him. You must trust him with it. Don't be like the wicked spies. To know the one who is ruling history and ruling and overruling, working all things according to the counsel of his will, is the same one who has given you the instruction in his word, and that his spirit is the one who teaches you to understand his word and to obey his word. So that as you live your life day by day, there's this wonderful awareness that the one, not just in fellowship with whom you live, but who has given you the instructions by which you live, is leading you. And so there's the Lord dwelling with his people, and the Lord leading his people. And then there's the Lord protecting his people. The cloud of Yahweh was above the tabernacle by day. Fire was over it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. This ought to protect them from themselves, from their sin. To literally, in the shadow of the cloud, in the shadow of the pillar of fire, sin against God, and yet they did. And so that's a grave warning to us. But it's protection. In the sight of the house of all Israel, they also knew themselves to be the Lord's own people, and to know that only what God has willed for their good can happen to them, and that their enemies have no power over against their God. The fact that the Lord leads his people, you see in an expansion of this text in Numbers 9, verse 15 to 23, and it talks about the cloud by day and its appearance above the tabernacle at night, looking like fire, and how the Lord led them by the cloud and the fire to encamp or to break camp, etc. But we have just been in our Isaiah readings, in Isaiah 4, 5, and 6, you remember the Lord talking about using this image of the cloud and the fire to talk about his presence with his people. He says not just that the cloud of smoke by day and the shining of flaming fire by night as a covering over all the glory, but then he says in Isaiah 4:6, and there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge, and for a shelter from storm and rain. In other words, the Lord's presence with his people is not just to guide them, but the Lord's presence with his people is a protection that is suited to every situation. Your great help, no matter what the trouble is, no matter what the danger is the Lord himself. So if the danger is heat, then he is a shade to you. If it is attack, he's a refuge to you. If it's a storm, he's a shelter to you. And all of the other things that threaten us, the Lord himself is our help, and he is always with us. So there, the fellowship and the guidance and the protection, all of which had been lost by our first father Adam, has been obtained by Christ. But the Lord was graciously making great display of that here at the end of Exodus 40. This should have been to them the great fulfillment of their deliverance from Egypt, that they had been brought into a dwelling with God. And if he takes them to Canaan, then A, that's where he had promised the nation at that point. But they had him, and that should have been everything to them. That's why the wickedness of the spies and Israel in following the ten was so great. But the Lord, of course, has done these things most of all in Christ, and we are looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth. But there is a sense in which we've already arrived at our destination, isn't there? If you have God in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have his presence, you have his guidance, you have his protection, and you know that at the last you will have him, which means you already have the heavenliness of heaven. It's this knowledge that, nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You take me by the hand. You guide me by your counsel. You will receive me into glory. That's what leads him to say, whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing else on earth I desire beside you. God making display of that to Israel, which they did not heed, the great majority of them. And God making that display to us. Oh, do not be like Israel. Do not go astray in your heart. Take his presence with you to be all of your pleasure. Take his instruction to you to be your guidance. Take his presence as your instructor to be your guard and protection from going the wrong way, and know that he protects you from all that is ultimately unto your ill. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for you, will surely together with him give you all things. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the way that you made this great display unto Israel of your presence to them and with them. So great indeed that the need for Christ to come and finish his work and apply it was made so obvious. And we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would help us now, because we are not there to see the cloud and the fire and the glory and all of that. And, oh Lord, even the vast majority of those who are there to see it did not respond to these things. And so we look to you now, trembling, knowing that we need you to help our hearts, so that we will respond to you, so that we will rejoice in your presence, and follow your instruction, be glad to be instructed and led and guided by you, and that we would trust you to be our protector, our refuge, our help, and that you would be everything to us. And so we see that your Spirit must be the one who gives this, and we ask then that your Spirit would give it to us. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.